If you've got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And I'm going to ask my brother if he would be so kind to read the scripture here. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 23. It's a little bit of reading. But we need to hear the word. Amen?
Amen.
All right, go ahead.
Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me in the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and I love them as you have loved me."
Amen. The thought that I want to put on the altar of each one of our hearts today is, and just ask yourself this question: am I an answer to the Lord's prayers? Am I an answer to the Lord's prayer? right where I am right now, the things that I think, where I am in this journey of life, am I being an answer to God's prayer? Because, you know, we pray and we expect him to answer our prayers, but we also have to understand that the Lord is praying for us. Are we being an answer to his prayer? Now, the thing that I noted about the Lord, and all of us can note this, is that Jesus was a praying man. Amen. Every time you looked around, he was praying. Be it early in the morning, throughout the day, in the evening, throughout the night, he was always praying, whether it be in private, whether it be in public, whether it be before he ate, before he fed the 5,000, he prayed. Whether it be before he healed someone, after he healed someone, he prayed. He prayed all the time. He prayed before he was going to die. He prayed during the dying process. He was always found praying. The Apostle Paul picks up on this in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and he says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Evidently, apparently, he had heard of the effectiveness of the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. And the Lord prayed so much, and his prayers were always answered by the Father. He was so effective at his prayers that the disciples even, you know, took notice of this and said, you know what? Teach us to pray like that. We want to be able to get some results like that. Teach us what you got. Show us how to do this thing. So the Apostle Paul picks up on that and he says, pray without ceasing. In other words, have a mindset of a God's consciousness in your life. Where I want to have, where you want to have the mindset that I'm always talking to my Father. It makes a difference. I'm intimately fellowship linked up with the Lord, and I always want to have him on my mind. I always want to have, get a hold of this, I always want to have his influence in my life. All right? So Apostle Paul picks up on that, and in Matthew chapter 6, we call it the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but really it really can be more effectively labeled the disciples' prayer, where he teaches us how to pray. But in John chapter 17, that really can be labeled the Lord's Prayer. Because in John chapter 17, it's the day before the Lord knows that he's going to be pouring his life out. He's at the end of his earthly ministry, John chapter 17. And Jesus, you get a picture of the heart of the Lord in this prayer. And in John chapter 17, as the Lord begins to pray, he prays for you and me. And the question is, am I an answer to the Lord's prayer? He prayed some things here that are specific for you and me. And when we see the heart of the Lord, he knows that he's about ready to die. He knows that he's about ready to leave this earth, and he shares with the Lord. He was always talking to his Father, but this time it's something else about it, because he's pouring out his actual heart to the Lord. And he's really giving us a prescription, if you will, as we pray. But on the other side here, you know, because I've prayed to the Lord, and I've still got some prayers that have not been answered that I've prayed to him. All right? I wonder if the Lord feels that same way about me and you. He prays here. And he starts in John chapter 17. And we're not going to keep you long. The Super Bowl is on. I understand that. You all right? At 5:30? All right. See, my wife, somebody had asked me, is this an illustrative sermon? No. My wife got tired of me yelling at the TV and being the coach, so she decided she was going to make me part of the game. So now I'm official. Without a whistle. All right. So John chapter 17, we see Jesus' prayer. All right. Let's just take this. And again, I'm not going to keep you long. I just want to just put this on your hearts. And so you can ask yourself this question throughout this week. Am I an answer to the Lord's Prayer? Go ahead.
Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you.
Glory. Just as a quick little observation, this word he uses here, glorify, all right? He says, glorify your Son, that your Son might also glorify you. He uses in his prayer this word glory and glorify a total of 8 times throughout this prayer. Now, Pastor has preached on this about glory being weighty, all right? As Jesus gets into this thing, that the glory is a noun and glorify is a verb. So we start talking about weighty and then giving praise to and then giving adoration to. But he's trying to get us to see this thing here too, is that when we are living our lives, are we glorifying God? Are we making him weighty in our lives? So much so that he's on our mind. His influence is so much with us that he's weighty. His opinion counts. My value of him counts in my life. As the Lord is praying here, let's take it globally. As he's praying, one of the things I want you to take into account, are we glorifying him with our lives? Are we making him weighty in our lives? Am I being an answer to the Lord's Prayer? Am I putting him in my life? Is he so much a part of my life that what he thinks, how he feels matters in the decisions that I make? Am I an answer to the Lord's Prayer? Read.
As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
Now, listen to this prayer, that he's given eternal life. And the thing about it, what eternal life is knowing the Lord. Not just knowing a bunch of facts about him, but being intimately associated and fellowship with him. His prayer is that we may know him. Now, that knowing him is a progressive thing. It's continuing to know and continuing to know. It's like a relationship. Whereas the relationship grows, you become mature with him. We understand that there's an obedience to this thing. There's a worship factor with it. There's a trust factor with it. So as he prays, he's praying that you and I would have eternal life. That eternal life is knowing him.
Yeah.
Knowing him. His prayer for you and I is that we would know him. And the eternal life, not just a knowing in the sweet by and by, but eternal life is right now. Come on. right now, that we know him right now. Am I being an answer to his prayer? Do I know the Lord like he's praying that I would know him? Do I know the Lord and have walked with him so that I trust him more? More and more I trust him. More and more I'm obedient to his word. I don't have to doubt. I don't have to think about it. Now, is that the Lord or what? I rebuke you. But the more that we get, you know, it comes to a point where when your children, when they hear your voice, when they hear your voice, you expect them to move. Don't debate it. Don't, Mama used to say, don't let me have to call you again. Don't let the Lord have to call you again. Are you an answer to the Lord's prayer? Read.
Verse 6, I have manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word.
Get a hold of this. He says, I have manifested your name. Now, in biblical times, the name was not just a label that we put on somebody. But the name represents that total person, that person's total character. So Jesus says, I have revealed to them your name. They know your name by being associated with me. If you've seen the Son, then you've seen the Father. By them having a relationship with me, I've expressed to them, I've revealed to them just who you are, your whole character, your whole nature. So as the Lord is praying here, he's praying that you and I would understand what goes in that name of the Lord. That we would understand there's power, wonder-working power in the name of the Lord. I'll never forget going to a conference, and one lady, an elderly lady, got up, and she testified. It was the old Church of God in Christ with my wife's family. Her dad's a pastor, the Church of God in Christ pastor, right? So we go to this conference, and as we're there, they had an elderly woman stand up and testify. And what she testified was that the last year that she came to the conference, as she got back home, she opens the door of her house, she gets ready for bed, goes to bed at night, and as she gets in the bed, an intruder steps out of her closet and steps toward and is approaching her with a knife in his hand. And she said that all she could do is just say the name of Jesus. And she just kept saying, Jesus, Jesus. And after about 3 minutes, the guy was just standing there. And she didn't know what else to do. And she said, the man said, ma'am, I don't know what you're doing to me, but will you please stop so I can get out of here? There's power. In the name of Jesus. So as the Lord is praying, he's praying that we understand that, as Pastor Jeremy says, we pray many times in the name of Jesus. We're praying really in the authority of Jesus. That name of Jesus, it unlocks the windows and the doors of heaven, if you will. So when we understand the power that we have, then we will pray a lot more with that. But on the other side, the Lord is praying that we would be an answer to his prayer, that we would understand what we've got. I was driving along, and I was behind a lady that had a Ford Mustang. Speed limit was 65 miles an hour, and she was doing every bit of maybe 50. Traffic was backed up on both sides because she was in the left-hand lane. And she's going just as slow as the person in the right-hand lane. And I thought to myself, if she only realized the power she got. The Lord is saying to each one of us, if we only realize the power you got, it'll make a whole difference in the way in which we interact with this world. It'll make a whole difference in the way in which we interact with our family members, our children, the people on our jobs. If we understand what we've got, and knowing this too, that the Lord is making intercession for you. He didn't just pray back then and stop. Romans 8:27 says that he still is interceding for us. He's praying for us. Read.
Verse 11 and 12. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those who you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you have gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled.
He said, keep them. He's praying that we be kept. In other words, that there is a security that we have. He's praying that we understand that we are secure in him, secure in our salvation, and then we're secure from the protection of whatever the enemy would throw at us. When we understand that there's security in him, then regardless of how high the gas prices go, how high the interest rates go, how they are looking at laying off, or what have you, there's a security in that, come what may, God, you got me. Lord, you've got me. And everything that's a so, Lord, you got me. Have you ever thought about that? It's not your job that's providing for you. See, we get it backwards. If he could take two fish and five loaves of bread, and see, a lot of times what we do is we look at those as just good old Bible stories, but really they're examples and encouragement to our faith. Who God is and what he can do. Regardless of what the doctor says, Lord, you got this. You've got this, Lord. So I'm not going to doubt you. I'm secure. I'm going to rest in you. The safest place in all the world is in the will of God. The safest place, the best place, is in the hands of Almighty God. Job in the Old Testament, he even got, and from the Old Testament, got a little hang of it, and he said, you know what? Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Lord, you got it, no matter what. Read.
Verse 11 again. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep me through your name, that those you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Thank you.
Go on down.
Verse 21. That they all may be one as you are, Father. Let me read that again. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you have gave, that which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me.
Are you an answer to the Lord's prayer? The Lord prayed this thing with this unity. Now, this is really interesting. He mentioned unity four times, that we might be one. Now, if in his prayer, before he leaves earth, and this is his heart that he's sharing, that he's praying to the Father, unity must really be important on the mind and the heart of the Lord. Unity must really be a big deal to him. The importance of oneness, the importance of having one heart, one vision, one goal, one love. And it's not just, you know, us all walking in the same step. Get a hold of this. My wife can, and I could be disagreeing about something, but we could still be in unity. It matters about our attitudes. In your disagreement, what is your attitude toward the person you're in disagreement with? As we grow, and the Lord knew way back then that this would be a very important thing. Oneness. Oneness. He's praying and he's counting on us that we will walk in unity. And this whole thing with the unity bit, it's amazing. And the best example that I can give is that of an orchestra. Have you ever used this one, Bishop? Couple few times. Maybe that's where I heard it then. It's amazing. I can still say it. I'll give the credit to Bishop the first time and then the next time. It's amazing with an orchestra how you've got all of the different instruments and the different persons playing those different instruments. Now, you've got the flute section, you've got the horn section, you've got all of those different sections, and they can play their instruments, and all of them are good. They can decide that, well, I want to play this music, or I want to play that music, or I don't want to play that music, or I don't want to play this music. And they can be in a disagreement about the music that they're going to play. But when the conductor steps on the platform, what they do is, regardless of what they want to play or what they don't want to play, they submit themselves to the conductor. And because of their submission to the conductor, the music that comes out is harmonious, simply because each one decided that they were going to submit and just listen to and listen for and watch and follow the conductor. Even though we might have disagreements on what music should be played, but when the conductor says do this or do that, as long as we submit to the conductor, that's my part. Are you an answer to the Lord's Prayer? Are you submitting to the conductor? Because as we grow, as we progress through this journey, there are going to be many times where God is going to want us to do a certain thing, and it's going to involve submission. It's going to involve working with someone else that you might not necessarily like working with. This was already part. I did not steal that from Lindy. But the whole truth of the matter is, what they do is none of your business. How they act is none of your business. Your business is submitting to the conductor. That's the important thing. So as he's praying for this oneness, what does it involve? It involves loving one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in totality. It involves humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves, it involves forgiving. And I was going to go, you know, a very interesting little point. It matters not how long you have been in the Word or if you've been teaching the Word. The Apostle Paul had a disagreement in Acts chapter 15 with Barnabas. about taking John Mark along with them on a missionary crusade. John Mark had basically left them high and dry previously, and Paul did not want to take John Mark with him on this next crusade. So that presented a problem. And the problem and the argument and the disagreement was so large that they broke company. Now, it's amazing because as I look at the life of Apostle Paul writing and who he was, you would think that, you know, that shouldn't have been a bigger problem as it was. But as I looked at this closely, I saw that the Apostle Paul himself was walking in unforgiveness. When John Mark left them, the Apostle Paul couldn't forgive him for what he did. So as a result, you hurt me, or you disappointed me, or you let me down, so I'm not going to trust you. I'm not going to forgive you for this next time. How many of us are dealing? Are you an answer to the Lord's Prayer? Now, Apostle Paul finally got it together over years. He matured. He understood some things. Is it really that important? The thing that I was upset about, the thing that I parted my friendship with Barnabas about, was it really that important? Am I an answer to the Lord's Prayer? Are you an answer to the Lord's Prayer? He's counting on you and me both. Because one of the main reasons that he's counting is that the world is looking at us, how we handle the disagreements, how we handle situations that are not, you know, when I have a disagreement with my wife, the world is looking at that. They will understand that this whole thing of loving God and being a Christian, a true Christian, is real based upon our oneness. So that becomes a witness. Am I an answer? Are you an answer to the Lord's Prayer? Father, we thank you for challenging us, for bringing us to another level in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.